Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome to The Thought Police. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, BetterHelp is a great online place to go if you're feeling stressed out, because people don't always realise that physical symptoms like headaches, teeth grinding, even digestive issues can be indicators of stress. And let's not forget about doom scrolling, sleeping too little, sleeping too much, undereating, overeating. You can do all of that. I've had very stressful jobs all through my life, and I've often found good ways of dealing with that. Some people deal with it better than others, of course, and if it does show up in your world, sometimes the world is telling you to do too much. It's telling you to sleep less. It's telling you to work more. It's telling you to do all sorts of things that you must do in order to keep up with everybody else. Well, I'll tell you what stresses you out? Could it be work? Could it be the bills? At the moment, the cost of living is going through the absolute roof. Could it be your family? Are you eating enough? Are you not eating too much? There's all sorts of questions. We live in a very, very weird world now. And I can tell you this, that if you go to BetterHelp, it is going to be helpful to you, because they're going to give you great ideas as to how to de-stress. It doesn't necessarily have to be advice that you have to follow to the letter, but it could give you a load of ideas. And so here's your reminder to take care of yourself, do less. And if you want to, if you haven't tried it, maybe try some therapy. It's customised online therapy from BetterHelp. It offers video, phone and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. Give it a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress. The Thought Police and its listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/police. 10% off for Thought Police listeners with your first month at betterhelp.com/police. And now it's time for the podcast. Welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police on the podcast that you all want to get every single week. We are slightly in a different place, Kevin. We just finished a live show at the Half Moon in Putney. How do you think it went?
It's our second show here at the Half Moon in Putney, as you rightly say, Mike, and another triumph.
I think it went very well.
Great to see everyone.
Yeah, we had some very nice people popping in to have their pictures taken. We had somebody give us a pork pie and some Stilton, which was very nice. We should enjoy that later on. We've been very careful not to overdo the old booze, though, because we're going to do a television show later on today, which we've got to disappear off and do. But we're sitting in this very iconic dressing room, because I used to come to the Half Moon in Putney.
I did too.
A teenager, right, when I was quite young. And I'm sure I saw some quite decent bands. Eddie and the Hot Rods are up there. We've got all sorts of things from...
I think I actually might have seen Eddie and the Hot Rods here.
Really?
I definitely did, yeah.
It's one of those places...
I saw Graham Parker and The Rumour here.
He was good.
Really this is, good
It's
band.
One of those places now that does a lot of those sort of tribute acts, you know, like David Bowie tribute acts, all sorts of things like that. It's pretty good.
No, it's a great venue.
And
it's
a great
legendary
venue,
yeah.
It really is.
Proud to be here.
And we told some good stories. We drew a couple of pictures, because that's our new thing,
yeah,
drawing the news.
You drew a picture of a cunt and I drew a picture of a prick. That was uplifting, a kind of spiritual, sophisticated
great.
Moment.
Very good. Well, this is getting a bit like the South Bank show, I'm wondering.
The South Wank show.
So, you know, we'll probably come back here, I think, because we do like it, don't we?
It's a great venue. It's perfect.
Although, I have to say, very disappointed with the transportation links, because, of course, first of all, the Jubilee line was fucked because some cunt threw himself under it, right? Then,
the fucking main line station at Waterloo had no trains coming to Putney. It's the only place you can get here from.
I know, fucking absolutely know, go ridiculous. To a station, there's no trains, yeah. Only in London.
Only in Britain London. Could you run a train service, but without trains.
Yeah, a station that only. Has no trains. It's like the pub with no beer.
Yeah.
The station with no trains.
Yeah.
No
so,
fucking
What we're going to do this week, right, on the podcast is lots and lots of you have joined Patreon. We're going to do a sort of best of
best
Patreon,
of, yeah.
Best of the stuff that we've done over the course of time. We've done a couple of live shows, a couple of live podcast recordings. We'll probably do another one of those soon. And then we'll be back to normal probably week after this.
Yep.
When we'll do you
well,
maybe
next week,
we
yeah.
might even do you an extra podcast.
I think we should.
Why not?
I think we owe it to the people.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think
sort of half term special.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can do a couple.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
If you haven't fucking do it.
If you haven't joined Patreon yet, why the fuck haven't you? And you know, just get on with it and tell your friends because it's the greatest entertainment you'll ever see, and it's not very expensive, is it?
Do you know what's funny about doing these live shows is. I think we find it probably more entertaining than anyone else.
Well, they're all laughing.
I know, but it does make me laugh.
I mean, and you learned something about Peyronie's disease.
Yeah, Peyronie's disease.
Whatever the fuck that is.
Fucking a bird round the corner. And pissing into people's faces when they can't see you. Because you're around the corner. Peyronie's disease, yeah, they call it a disease, but it sounds to me like a real asset.
It could be seen
you know,
as
like
that.
A bent cock has got so many uses.
Have you noticed there's a thing over there called concrete rose, by the way?
Yeah, concrete, this is
you
your spiritual fucking home.
You can't go
it?
Far without fucking concrete, can you?
No, concrete has become central to your equation.
It really has. Well, listen, I've enjoyed it. We're now going to go and do another fucking show. So let's hope that...
And then we're going out for dinner afterwards.
And then we're going out to the Ivy Club.
I'm going to spend a lot of time speaking to you today, Mike.
Good.
It's lucky you'll be sick of me.
You'll be sick of me by 1 o'clock. By the time
I'm sick of you all fucking ready.
By the time I get thrown out of the Ivy, you'll be all see the fucking back of me. That's what I can tell.
You got it, yeah.
See you
you'll
later.
Definitely be checked out. Fuck off all of
fuck it. Fuck you. Welcome to another sparkling edition of the Thought Police podcast, recorded in our brand new surroundings, which was a great success last week, Kevin. I want you to know. Kevin O'Sullivan's here with me, of course. I'm Mike Graham. We managed to sort the fucking sound out, but we had to move to an entirely new arena, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah. We're in the pub.
We're
our
in the
natural
pub.
Environment.
Our natural environment, where it might be a bit echoey, but there were still people complaining about it, but fuck them anyway. Here's the thing.
I was in this fucking pub for 5 fucking hours last night. Never again.
It's about time you fucking...
Until tonight.
Until later, yeah. Now, we also launched last week our Patreon account, which means that people can now subscribe to The Thought Police. So they not only listen to us on the podcast, which is still free, by the way, but you pay a little bit of money and what you get is an entire panoply of content from video casts, video pods to live shows, live streams. And we asked for some people to be executive producers of our Patreon account, right?
We did.
And I've got a few names here because I want you to give them a big hello. The first one is known only as Jason.
Jason, he's an absolute wankpot.
Wankpot. Leonie Thomas. I'm not sure if that's a man or a woman.
A world-class cunt.
Robbie Lunnan.
Olympic standard prick.
What about Matt Clark?
Oh, what a fucking tosspot he is.
And you got
and
three
over
more.
To you for Jennifer Lionberger.
Yeah, that's one of the great names.
What
she's
a great
the,
name,
she's the one who's otherwise known as the American whore. She likes to be known as
right,
that.
Right, right, yeah.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Lionberger by name, Lionberger by nature.
Yeah.
Cunt. John O'Brien.
Absolute twat.
And Emma Lou.
Fuckwit of the First Order.
What a shower of cunts.
Absolute shower of cunts. Anyway, thanks, guys, for being executive producers of the podcast. If you want to do that, you can sign up for our Patreon account. We'll put it out on the Thought Police Twitter account, of course, where you can find all good things. And soon, we'll be putting out the Newcastle live stream. Before we go on, I think what we need to do, Kevin, is recount, partly for my own purposes, what happened on fucking Saturday. Because we all went out for a rugby game.
Yeah, we did.
At Twickenham. And it took a bit of a turn, didn't it?
Well, it did. We had a fantastic day, courtesy of our friend Richard Tice.
Richard Tice, top man. Thank you, Richard.
He's got like sort of supersonic VIP membership of Twickenham.
Yes.
So
I think he owns a piece of it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
possibly the West
Stand. So we got like a kind of lavish three-course meal with excellent wine. Few pints of Guinness
pints
and
of
the
Guinness.
Best seats in the fucking stadium.
Right on the halfway line.
Hell of a game. Yeah. It was all going really, really well. Richard bought his friend, who shall remain nameless.
Yes. And we all had a great deal to drink and watched a great game of rugby, and it was great fun.
England, of course, lost.
We always knew they were going to lose. You could tell that.
I mean, the great thing about you was you said at the beginning as we walked in, you said, I don't really give a shit because I could be Irish or English. I don't mind.
I couldn't lose.
You could not lose.
Yeah, if England won, I'd be... of course, I'm a boy from England. If Ireland win, my ancestors, you know, fucking green Emerald Isle blood in me.
To be sure. There were plenty of Irish there.
Top of the morning to you. You see? See how fucking Irish I can get?
I'm half expecting
a train. Anyway, I was quite pleased that Ireland won, but I suppose secretly I'd have preferred England to win, but it was kind of fucked from that cunt getting sent
the French
off in the 88th second.
Yeah, well done.
But yeah, great game, and much drink was had.
But when we made our way out of the place, which was some time after the final whistle, because the great thing about being in hospitality is that you don't have to leave straight away with the hordes of people trying to get to the station and fucking pack it out of the train. So you can wait. It was still quite busy.
Yep.
But we had to walk to this lovely...
Luxury people mover,
one of those V-class Mercedes. And by the time we got quite close to that, Tice's mate, right, was not walking very straight, was he? He was already struggling at that point.
I got the feeling, he was the least professional drinker among us.
Yeah, well, I think
let's call it, he was absolutely pissed out of his fucking mind.
I mean, let's face
to
it.
To use the technical term.
Yeah, let's face it, you and I are quite used to having seven or eight hours.
We put a lot of practice in that direction.
Fucking lifetime's practice.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lifetime to get to that stage.
It really does. Because I didn't even know I was that pissed until... I mean, I did realise by this point how pissed I was. But I said to Richard at some point, I said, how much fucking further are we walking to get to this?
I thought we were walking into London.
Are we walking back to London, right? Anyway, so we did finally find it. And we all got into the cab. And it was all going fine until... He went fucking berserk, didn't he?
He started attacking
you. He just went fucking mad.
He started attacking you, like leaping at you.
He literally leapt on me and started fucking strangling me.
But you know what's fucking the funniest line? So earlier in the day, it turned out he was a fan of yours.
Right.
And
he turned out he'd listened to me for years without realising it was me.
Yeah, when you were doing the two mics. So he said, oh, you one of the two mics. Oh, amazing, amazing. So he was very impressed to be with you. When he lost it in the car and started lunging at you, because you started going to him, who the fuck are you? And he lunged at you. And he said, you're such a disappointment to me.
But the reason he leapt on me, though, was because of something I actually hadn't said. Because at one point or other, you and I were having a bit of a row about nothing in particular, just the way we do, having a go at each other, calling each other cunts.
I think we were just trying to decide who was the greatest genius.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm fucking cleverer than you. No, you're not.
No, fuck you. I've got fucking evidence.
Be sensible fucking
I've got
discussion.
Evidence, you know.
I am fucking cleverer than you.
Fuck you, you fucking tosspot.
You're a moron. Yeah.
Anyway, out of the fucking blue, he suddenly goes, you just called me a cunt. And I said, no, actually, I was calling Kevin a cunt, actually, but I think I might have said to him, but I'm not sure. But you probably are a bit of a cunt yourself anyway as well. And that was when he fucking leapt out of his seat. Yeah. So I had to literally batter him away. I had to punch him sort of in his inner elbow. Because he was actually throttling me. I mean, he's quite a big guy. He was leaning down on me.
And he kept going, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to murder you.
It was a bit like, you know, that's the old Pink Panther films when Herbert Lom used to go fucking mad and try and kill Peter Sellers. It was a bit like that. Anyway, I managed to get him back on his side of the fucking van. And I then decided the only way to control this prick is to put my foot on his fucking chest. So I put my fucking foot up and put it right on his solar plexus and went, if you fucking move from there, you're going out the fucking door.
Yeah.
Fucking twat. And he was so pissed, I think he forgot he'd done it.
He was deeply, deeply pissed. Mm. And then he kept lunging at you more and more. And then you put your foot up, as you're quite right. So by then we were like in the outskirts of town. And what I thought was really weird was that we suddenly pulled up in Earl's Court.
Yeah.
And
he got out.
And let him out.
Yeah.
Richard goes, oh, this is where you get out.
I don't know why he got out.
And I said, well, you know, what the fuck is he going
to
do?
He was trying to get to
Houston.
He's probably
still fucking there.
Yeah, well, you know, he was trying to get to Houston. You might not know this bit. Because apparently,
Houston. Yeah. Oh, that's handy. Earl's Court.
You know,
yeah,
Earl's Court. Nowhere near Houston. I mean, it's a fucking long way round on the old Circle Line, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the next day, And I said to Richard, there's no fucking way he's going to make it home.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Fuck? Didn't he have to go to somewhere like Milton Keynes,
right? Yeah. So I messaged, because I put the radio on in the morning. I wasn't feeling too fucking clever, I must say.
Yeah, well, nor was I.
Because, of course, I got home. No, in fact, you and I ended up back at the fucking Ivy Club.
We went to the Ivy Club for vodka martinis.
And, of course, inexplicably, I decided it'd be a great idea to have some fucking vodka martini at that time of night, which is fucking brilliant.
What?
I hadn't been back there since I'd been thrown out, by the way.
Yeah, we got you in under the radar.
For being completely pissed.
I think they didn't recognise you because even though you were very pissed, you were nowhere near as pissed as you were the time before when you could hardly fucking speak. Apart from to call everyone in there a cunt, including the manager. You cunt! I'm a fucking customer, you cunt!
Yeah. Have you ever heard the phrase, the customer is always fucking right?
And then when he goes, it's just that, sir, that, you know, there's some couples that are having dinner there. Fuck them, cunts! Cunt!
I mean, fucking hilarious. I mean, the great thing about having Kevin O'Sullivan as a friend, right, is that he understands all of this, and he never fall out with him over it. It's fucking tremendous. Anyway, so I send old Rich, I put the radio on in the morning, Tice is on, sounding very good.
Yeah, I thought that.
And I sent him a little note going, hey, you know, you're sounding very fresh considering how much we had to fucking drink yesterday. He went, yeah, fresher than my mate who didn't make it to Euston and has ended up sleeping on my sofa. And apparently his wife went fucking tonto because he never made it home.
So, okay, so because Richard got back in the car, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he just staggered to Richard's place.
Well, I don't know how it happened, but he obviously got to the point where
it was a fucking tall order.
I don't think he could have walked on his own. Yeah, never mind, get on a fucking train.
Fucking drunk, wasn't he?
Absolutely gone. But it was also one of those weird things where it happens, and you're all so pissed that actually it doesn't seem weird. But the more you think about it later, the more fucking weird it gets.
I did. I remember saying something. I said, "Are we sure about that, Richard?" Oh, yeah, it'll be fine. It fucking wasn't.
Well, it fucking wasn't anyway. But there we are. The other guy that we should mention is that old guy who was having a go at us.
Because this also happened,
right?
Yeah.
Because you know how rugby, the halftime sort of drinks are very, very quick. Cause it's only 10 minutes they have, really. It's not even 15 like football. So we go charging back into the fucking table where there's more fucking Guinness waiting for us. Chuck down a couple more Guinnesses. I then decide to go for a pee, I think. So I went and had to queue up to the toilet. Then picked up another red wine and another Guinness and walked out into the fucking, you know, arena.
Yeah.
Where the game had been going for about 5 minutes. No big deal. But we were in the front row. So you know how people have to get up.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking past, everybody's fine, apart from this one guy who says something like,
This place is
full of alcoholics. You're supposed to be here to watch a game of rugby. It's physical. It's not about drinking. And I just walked past him and I went, yeah, all right, calm down. Yeah, I went, calm down, mate. You know, I went and sat down and Kevin said, did that guy ever go at you? I said, yeah. He said the same thing to me. You know, that you're alcoholics. So, of course, you know, the old two-fisted drinking went on for the next 45 minutes.
And then at the end,
it's a bit like pooch, you know. Yeah. I remember these things, right? And so as we were standing, waiting to go, and I'm trying to think which way to go, I see this guy, and I thought, fucking avenue. So I walked over to him, and I went, oh, you. And he looked at me, I went, don't ever fucking speak to me like that again, you fucking wanker, or else I'll throw you into the fucking next fucking stand. And he just looked at me.
He got quite conciliatory, didn't he?
Look of horror. Because he suddenly realised, shit, this bloke not only shit faced, but he's fucking mad as well.
He was an utter cunt.
And I just went, just fuck off, right? You, fuck off.
Well, quite right.
And there was a woman who'd been sitting next to me.
He'd been doing it all match for everyone.
Yeah, and a woman who'd been sitting next to me, we'd been having quite a nice little chat about this, that, and the other. She's like, my friend's here from Ireland. I was like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. And she was looking at me like, what the fuck's happened to him? He's gone mad. But, you know, how dare people talk to you like that? What the fuck's wrong with them?
So once I went to West Ham. To see them, I think they were playing Stoke when Mark Hughes was their manager. Now Mark Hughes is not loved at Fulham because he fucked off to manage QPR. Don't fuck off from Fulham.
That's
and go,
not fucking
go to
sensible,
our deadly rivals.
No.
So I sometimes go to West Ham. It's like my second favourite team. And my mate Ivan, he literally likes to get there. He's a member of the Berlin
club. It's not a great stadium though, is it?
Well, I quite like it actually. But his seats are great because they're right down the front. But anyway, he's a member of the Berlin club and he likes to get there. So literally we were the first people in the stadium every fucking time. They open the gates at games at 3, they open the gates at midday, and we pile in, go to the Berlin club and start drinking
and have lunch. Do you have lunch there as well?
Nah, I might get it's like football concessions, so I might get a pie or something like that. But it's quite a nice place, sit around the table, looking at the programme and all that. you put some bets on. Anyway, by the time you get to the fucking, you know, for the start of the match, you go out in their little arm forever blowing in bubbles and all that shit. And you go, fucking hell. You know, I mean, you know, like we were at Twickenham. When I go to West Ham, it's like 20 times worse now. Absolutely arseholes, you know. So we stagger down to the seat. And my mate Ivan's got these amazing tickets. I mean, season ticket seats. They're about 3-4 rows back.
Right. So that's still about half a mile from the fucking pitch.
Yeah, but they're
though,
right by the manager's dugout. Right. So I'm sitting there, and there's Ivan there, and there's this sort of couple, like, woman there, and a few other people. So I spend the whole match going, you fucking Welsh cunt! You Welsh fucking cunt! You Welsh piece of shit from Wales! Anyway, we get towards the end of the match, and this woman who's been sitting there for the whole 80 minutes, she goes, I'm from Wales.
Congratulations.
I said, don't you fucking start.
It is funny. It's fucking hilarious. But, I mean, it's the same as when we were going on the way down, because we got on that train, if you remember, from Waterloo, and a few of the old masked zealots got on. You know, you could see that these are the rugby fans that are sort of like the Ramonas, you know, the posh ones that get on at Clapham Junction, right? And if you remember, we were sitting there talking about how, you know, you can't actually order a 21-year-old blonde Ukrainian with big tits if you want from the Home Office, because they won't let you have one of them. Yeah. They'll just give you the one with no teeth and 55 children.
I've offered a home to a refugee. I've asked for a stunning blonde with big tits, but apparently you're not allowed to stipulate.
I saw one today from a guy who said, yeah, I've got these two Ukrainians coming to stay, these twins, you know, the picture of these birds with the huge tits in the fucking latex outfit. He says, is anyone want to look after my wife and kids for 3 weeks? I'll give you 350 quid.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of wrangling because going on with these.
Can you imagine the fucking, I mean, how the fuck are there 100,000 people who are going, oh yeah, I'd love to have an Ukrainian in my house. I mean, what? Are they fucking taking the piss? They are taking the
fucking
piss.
What a load of bollocks. And then, you know, it's once again, it's Britain saying, aren't we fucking marvellous? This Russian-Ukraine war, it's all about us.
Yeah.
You know, look at the financial sanctions. Yeah, they're doing a fat load of fucking use, aren't they?
Yeah, but never
mind.
We're
not doing anything to fucking help them.
No, well, don't worry about that, because Boris has gone off to see, the King of Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
It works out.
Shortly after they killed off 81 of their own citizens. As I said earlier to somebody, they probably deserved it, to be honest. You know, the death penalty in Saudi Arabia, you know you're going to get fucking killed if you commit a crime.
Yeah.
So don't fucking commit a crime.
No, it's just what I like about the Saudis. You know where you stand
with
them.
You're fucking right, yeah.
You cross them and they fucking behead you.
He's got the fucking unwritten law.
The rules are very clear.
I know people. I mean, you talk about going to West Ham, right? You can go to the fucking execution square in Riyadh, where they've got fucking banks of seating and a fucking great big drain in the middle, where they just throw all the fucking bones and the bits of fucking dead bodies.
I presume they're going to be doing that at St James Park now that the Saudis own it. They'll have some public executions.
Well, do you remember that great? Do you remember that great fucking meme? Well, it was a picture of the whoever it was that was there from the Saudi government and his wife, the new owners.
Yeah,
and she's looking particularly glum, and they're looking on at Newcastle, and she's going, "This is a bit fucking boring. When's the execution start?"
When's the execution? Exactly, exactly. The way most of their managers work out, it won't be long before.
Maybe that's the way to go. Newcastle, you know, listen, if the fucking contract doesn't work out, we'll execute you.
Yeah,
you'll never get another job.
If you get fucking relegated, there goes your fucking head, mate.
Yeah, I think that could be a fucking winner. Yeah. You know, that might solve the problem of not scoring enough goals.
But you know, people going about the amoral dilemma.
Oh, yeah, apparently football's amoral.
We're going to get oil and energy from Saudi Arabia. They're just as bad as the Russians. Well, welcome to the real fucking world.
Yeah, right.
We have to make a choice. So I genuinely say Saudi Arabia is better than Russian right now.
Yeah.
So let's get some fucking energy.
I mean, both know people who have this attitude in life, basically where they rank, and everybody's a cunt and everyone's going to let you down at some point or other, so you might as well get fucking used to it. Yeah. So don't worry about it.
And also, you don't know...
Oh, I can't buy any petrol from you because you appear to be a bit of a dictator. Oh, really? Fucking hell.
But, you know, like, they're beheading people, public executions. You know, nobody actually looks at the character of the people that they're executing.
They could be fucking massive
criminals.
They could
be complete cunts.
Right, paedophiles.
And therefore, you know, in terms of public executions, nobody ever talks about the positives.
No, this is true. Very true. But anyway, listen, what about Nazanin Zaghari-Ratcliffe,
Ratcliffe?
Now, I was saying earlier to Pooch, If somebody fucking took my wife hostage and held them in fucking Iran for 6 years, I'd be fucking over the moon.
Yeah.
I would not be fucking... I think I'll go on hunger strike. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm having a fucking party every fucking night with some Ukrainians. Yeah. Fuck that shit. And also, can you imagine the fucking cleanup operation that's currently going on? She's in a plane. He's going, fuck! Yeah. I better fucking get everything back to normal.
Yeah.
You know, imagine what it's like when your wife goes away. And even if you haven't shagged anybody in the house, the fucking house needs a total fucking, you know, complete...
On the off chance you haven't shagged anyone. Well, it's an unlikely event.
I mean, I have to say, without wishing to give too much away...
In the unlikely event you don't fuck somebody when your wife's away.
No, back in the day, when I lived in New York, and my wife went to fucking North Carolina or something for the week to see her sister, I somehow ended up in my flat with some bird from a bar up on the Upper East Side, who insisted on me rubbing her down with Hawaiian Tropic fucking, you know, what do you call that?
Sun lotion?
Sun lotion,
sun
yeah.
Sun lotion.
Yeah, which stinks, by the way.
Yeah, it smells of coconut, doesn't it?
Yeah, it smells of coconut, yeah. So the whole fucking place stunk of coconut. To fucking bleach the whole fucking place. Worse than that, she left her fucking...
I've fucking got a yearning for coconut. I've been eating coconut
been
all
drinking
weekend.
Coconut milk.
Delicious coconut.
And also, she left her fucking watch in the shower, bird.
Yeah.
And I you know, so you had to do the whole kind of security check to make sure that, you know, the wife wouldn't come back. Yeah. So you can imagine, she's been gone six fucking years.
I'd love to be a fucking fly on the wall of the...
what should we do now?
The Zachary Ratcliffe's when they have the first row.
Yeah.
And that weird husband of hers, Richard, goes... He goes... I fucking knew you should never have come back from Iran. I should have fucking left you there, you cunt. You fucking cunt. Did you see those pictures of him? You know, when he went on that hunger strike for about 3 hours.
Right.
You know, I've gone longer without eating than he did. I mean, it's like he was just between sandwiches. That's not a hunger strike, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you see him sitting there with his theatrical, miserable face?
In Whitehall, right? Yeah. Also, you have to get behind all the other people on hunger strike. There's about fucking 20 of them, isn't there, at any given fucking time? But, listen. We're very happy that she's back, obviously. So we wish them all the best.
Do you remember when Boris was Foreign Secretary and he went over there and said, and he put a real fucking
she's a journalist.
Spoke in the wheels.
Journalist.
He goes, well, she is, of course, guilty. Thanks, Boris.
Yeah, cheers, Boris.
I think that prolonged her stay in Iran by about 4 years.
Thanks very much indeed. Now, before we do anything else, let's talk about Harry's shaving, because you can get a trial set with us because of what we're doing here on The Thought Police. You get a free travel-size shower gel for everybody who's listening to it now. So here's what you get in the trial set. One expertly engineered weighted handle, one five-blade cartridge, some foaming shave gel, travel blade cover, and some free shower gel, right? And all you have to do is pay $3.95 for delivery. The rest of it's free. harrys.com/thoughtpolice. And you can start your free Harry's shaving plan with us.
I'll tell you, the Thought Police fans are going to be the best groomed people in all of
Britain.
Well,
we do like a bit of grooming.
We should talk about
the other grooming while we're talking about this grooming, otherwise it might get complicated.
Yeah, no.
I know that commerce isn't your top subject, but never mind.
What is my pet subject?
Well, I don't know what's your pet subject. What is your pet subject? Being a chump. That's your fucking pet subject.
My pet subject is...
all right, if you were on Mastermind,
it's this question. Are you ashamed or proud of your bollocks?
I'm very proud of mine.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm fucking ashamed of my bollocks.
Why?
Well, because they're shit-looking bollocks, aren't they?
Well, yours might be.
Well, no, they fucking look. Yours are no oil painting, mate. Nobody's got good-looking bollocks.
Do you know who hasn't got any bollocks? It's my fucking dog. Ziggy has no bollocks. They were taken from him.
Jeremy Carl's got one.
Yeah, so's Jason Cundy.
Yeah?
Between them, they could make...
they could make a man.
Listen, that's not fair. Both
are,
you of them...
are they ashamed of their bollock?
Well, maybe not. Maybe they're ashamed of the one they don't have.
They're proud to still have one.
Well, they say it quite a lot. Most people do.
So you can have one off and you've got one. Are there any one... Is it ever the case that people have got three?
Probably.
Three bollocks.
Probably. I imagine
so. I wonder if there are people with three bollocks. I'd be proud of that.
I mean, I've never seen that.
I'd be fucking proud of having three bollocks.
Would you?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never known anyone who told me that. But then it's not the sort of thing that comes up, really, is it? In conversation.
Go advertising.
You know, you have some bloke at the bar. You
walk into a pub. Can I have a pint? Did you know I've got three bollocks?
I think if you did have three bollocks, you'd probably tell people, wouldn't you?
Well, you might have to, if you're about to fuck a girl, you might have to explain it. You might have to like put her in the picture. Do you know what I mean?
What to say if you think something a bit
weird?
There's
something I'm going to tell you.
Right.
You know, if you go down on me, you might...
How the fuck did we get here? What's
fucking going on? We're talking about whether or not you're ashamed of your bollocks.
Yeah, why though?
Well, because I've always been ashamed of mine.
I think that's a problem.
You asked me what my pet subject was. It was whether or not you're ashamed or proud of your bollocks.
Well, my next question would have been, before we went down this particular rabbit hole, as the Labour Party...
Labour Party called women.
I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, a load of people said to me, I didn't think it was called a rabbit hole, you know, but that's another story. But fucking, you know, I was going to say to you, what would be your mastermind subject, not... What's your favourite subject? I had no idea you were so obsessed with your own bollocks. So if you were to do the old David Lammy, you know, I'm going to go on Mastermind and show how fucking stupid I am. Do you remember when he was on?
Never got anything right.
Got every single fucking answer wrong. What an absolute twat.
Okay, so my pet subject would be the history of bollocks, if I was on Mastermind.
Well, you do talk a lot of bollocks.
Well, exactly. I'm an expert on bollocks.
Yeah.
So what would your pet subject
be? I don't know, really. I mean, I suppose the thing I know most about would have to be... Post-Brexit bullshit, yeah, politics or something like that, yeah. Because the thing about, or maybe the Russian fuckwitted people who think that there's some kind of massive conspiracy going on about Ukraine and all these wankers who keep ringing up going, oh, yeah, everybody knows it's a game, it's not really real, it's not really happening, it's all fucking being played out on some big massive screen and it's all fake. And you go, sorry. What?
Then they go, it's Western expansionism. NATO's been expanding and they've been... then they've been deliberately provoking Russia.
Yes.
Well, you know, we shouldn't have done that. I like the idea of NATO expansion and Western expansion.
And provoking Russia.
Fuck Russia. Fuck him and his plans. Why can't we expand?
Also,
should fucking invade Russia.
Why not? And make it part of NATO. Take it over.
Yeah. Oh, but there might be a third world. Don't provoke Putin because that will mean World War III. Again... World War III, nuclear weapons, no one talks about the positives.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Think of all, like we were saying last week, think of all the cunts that would be wiped out if they put a nuclear bomb onto London.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely.
We'd go, but, I mean...
Well, Benedict Cumberbatch would capture
the
shit as well.
So we take Benedict Cumberbatch with us.
And with his Ukrainian, hostage. You imagine, having fought your way out of fucking Ukraine all the way to the border, you manage to get past Rob Rinder, who's there... you manage to get into a fucking van, drive all the way to Calais, get on the fucking Eurostar, get all the way to London. Next thing, you wake up in the morning and there's that fucking cunt Cumberbatch looming over you. You know, it's some Marmite on your toast. Fuck off!
If you see a couple of Ukrainian refugees sort of weeping and sobbing and say to them in London, you know, it must have been so terrible, I can understand why you're so upset. It's, no, it's not that. We've just been billeted with that cunt Benedict Cumberbatch.
I mean, you can't imagine anything worse than these fucking lovies, can you? But, I mean, they're all at it, although Lineker's gone a bit quiet. I haven't heard anything from him.
Well, I suggested that we're going to set up Cumberbatch Watch to make sure that he actually does take a Ukrainian refugee, because my money is on the fact that he won't.
Speaking of the old different ways that the police act around oligarchs and around fucking people like that, did you see what the police response was the other day? When those wallies, those unwashed fucking eco-wankers took over some oligarch's house somewhere near Hyde Park.
Oh, yeah.
It was literally about 15 fucking police vans, about 200 cops, to get these wankers out. It was like, if you ring them up and go, excuse me, I've just seen somebody steal my car, they'll literally put the phone down on you.
But
what the fuck's that all about?
But also, don't we sort of like the fact that they were squatting
in apparently
house?
The police don't
they said
like
they
it.
They were liberating.
No, apparently the police don't like that sort of thing. So they send in fucking mob-handed about 75 police officers out of about 7 vans. It's bizarre.
See, there's another thing about... See, I'm like uncomfortable with this demonisation of Russian money in London. This is a, you know, dirty Russian money, dirty Chinese money. These people use this place to launder their filthy money, to rinse it clean and buy property, and they ruin the property market. Well, this is a fucking free market economy.
They're not really ruining the property market by buying houses for 35 million.
But it's a free market economy.
Yeah, but
and they've got the right, in my view, if they've got the money, they've got the right to buy stuff.
Well, the people they should fucking cleanse out of London are all these fucking lawyers who work for them. Those are the real cunts. I mean, forget about the Russian oligarchs.
Again,
these fucking lawyers are scum.
Well, yeah, but
they'll literally work for anyone.
But, yeah, sure, why not?
Well, I know you have no morals. I mean, everybody knows
that. It's a free market economy. You know, the lawyers are free to work for the oligarchs. The oligarchs should be free to buy property if they want and do whatever the fuck they want, operate businesses.
So yeah,
I don't quite get the objection.
Okay, well, I wouldn't expect you to. One final thought before
well,
we start.
Because I've got no morals.
You've got no morals, yeah, you don't care. What about Nicola Sturgeon, eh? What about Nicola Sturgeon?
What is she fucking on about? But let's go back to Sturgeon. What the fuck is she doing? So they were going to cancel... mandatory mask wearing is still the law in Scotland.
Until the middle of April.
When you're on
right?
public transport and in certain public buildings. Yeah. So it's still very much a thing up there. She was going to cancel it like the rest of the country, and then she changed her mind. And so it's going to actually fucking carry on. So this is the COVID crisis that just won't fucking end. What's it all about? I mean, what the fucking... She goes, oh, it's because the case rates are spiking. Well, case rates of what? Omicron? That gives you the sniffles for two fucking days.
Yeah.
Do you know
there's
what I mean?
I'm told there's a new variant going around, actually, which everybody's getting, but which isn't a fucking problem at all. In fact, you don't even know you've got it unless you actually test
because
yourself.
Because it's probably even more mild than Omicron.
Yeah. Because despite what that fuckwit Chris Whitty said, we're not going to get any more variants, which are any worse. Yeah. Because Omicron, even fucking Bill Gates said, is the great fucking leveler.
Because
everybody's now going to get it, and it won't hurt anyone.
Yeah, so it gives you the sniffles for 2 days. Lots of people don't even know they've had it. So why is she continuing this mask
She's
mandate?
Bonkers.
Why is she going on about, oh, there's been a really bad spike in case numbers? That's like saying there's been a really bad spike in people getting slight colds.
Yes.
Let's shut the country down.
I know.
The fucking matter with them?
It is.
Well, and also, why do you have to be vaccinated against that?
Right.
Against getting the slight sniffles?
Oh, well, because you must reduce the risk.
Bullshit. At risk of what? Doesn't do you any fucking harm. It's fucking mad.
The risk of being thought to be a cunt.
Yeah, it's not going to kill you. In fact, it's not even going to make you very ill. And we've still got these fucking mad cunts like Sturgeon, you know, acting like it's the bubonic fucking plague.
I know.
It's not.
It really isn't. Scotland's fucked. I'm not sure I'm ever going back.
But it is it's something that she is even worse. She makes Mark Drakeford look like the last of the Liberals.
I know. She is absolutely fucking bonkers up there. It's fucking ridiculous. Anyway, that's the end. We've come to the end. Don't forget, we will be bringing you news, if you haven't got it already, on the Patreon website where we have the Thought Police, where you can basically subscribe to us for about £4 a month. It's a very, very big bargain. You'll be able to get loads of great stuff. And also, what we're going to be doing in the near future, we'll be putting this out for tender, if you like. We're going to invite you to come and actually watch us recording this podcast in this very room.
In a sort of intimate crowd circumstance. It's good.
Very intimate, yeah.
We did a show here once before.
This is where we did our first show.
Our very first show was done in this very place. And we'll be doing it while we record a podcast.
And you can come and watch us doing it.
You're all very welcome.
Yeah, bunch of cunts. Get on with it.
You're all very welcome, except for the cunts, which actually rules out nearly all of you.
It's very true. We'll see you next time.
Take
this is Thought Police.
Fuck off.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.